Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 408. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. And fellas, it's back to AEW. What a week to go back to talk about it. How the hell are you?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one for the record books, ladies and gentlemen, because it's definitely a odd episode to talk this week, but we do have the return of Vasilda.
Well, I'm here with my Diet Pepsi. I'm here with my popcorn. I'm ready to listen to Josh rant. And in non-wrestling news, Nicole Brown Simpson's killer was found dead today. Too soon?
Like somebody's posted online. No, I think you misunderstood me. I said, God, please take the orange douche, not the orange juice. But anyway,
wow.
That's about as political as we're going to get here. Before we get into Dynamite, there was one piece of news, and that kind of coincides. It's from AEW, and they announced their remaining pay-per-view calendar for the rest of 2024. AEW Dynasty, Sunday, April 21st, St. Louis, Missouri. We already knew about that one. Double or Nothing, Sunday, May 26th, Las Vegas, Nevada. Forbidden Door, Sunday, June 30th, Long Island, New York. All In, from Wembley Stadium in London, Sunday, August 25th. All Out, from Hoffman Estates. They say that now, but I'm not going to buy it until I actually see it, because the last couple of times it was in the Wintrust Arena in Chicago. But Sunday, September 1st, 1 week later again. Wrestle Dream, Saturday, October 12th, Tacoma, Washington. Full Gear, Saturday, November 23rd, Newark, New Jersey. And World's End, Saturday, December 28th, Orlando, Florida. Now, what's interesting about this is those last three are back on Saturdays. And I don't know about October and December, but Saturday, November 23rd seems to be when Survivor Series would be. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
How that's going to play out, but we'll have to see how that turns later on in the year.
Yeah, because it was WWE that switched to Saturdays, right?
Correct.
If I recall correctly?
Yep.
It's the Saturday Night Wars.
They won't be a tough decision if they both air on the same night, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I know there are some people still wondering, it's like, why are they still doing All Out a week after All In? And just like, well, last year All Out still did 100,000 buys. So, you know, if they're still going to keep getting 100,000 buys a week after even a major show like that, then why wouldn't they keep doing it?
Yep. Well, hopefully it won't have any controversy surrounding it like the one that happened 8 months ago. And speaking of that,
here we go.
AEW yep. Dynamite. Tony Khan decided to air the footage, but he hid behind the Young Bucks putting the footage out there. But this was completely Tony's call, Tony's idea, because he got his panties in a twist because of what CM Punk said on the Ariel Helwani MMA Hour last week. But we're going to put that off for a little bit, and I'm just going to go through quickly what else happened on the show. Swerve Strickland beats up Samoa Joe, pushing the match that was going to lead off the show to the main event slot to give Joe time to recover.
So let's face it, that should have been it should have been in the main event slot from the beginning. So
I think it always was.
I mean, it's the world champion. Yeah.
So the show kicked off with the TNT championship of Adam Copeland defending and defeating Penta El Zero Miedo. And during this match, AEW put a countdown clock as the countdown to the footage and already I was groaning and sighing and bemoaning this garbage of a decision. And then they had the footage, but again, like I said, we're gonna get to that last. And immediately following this footage, they had a talking segment. They had an interview between Renee and Will Ospreay. And Will Ospreay started out by talking about Bryan Danielson, but then he said, there's been a rumor going around about how he's not able to handle the grind of professional wrestling. And supposedly this is in reference to something Triple H said on the Pat McAfee show last week, where if you're not in this for the grind and the long haul and to be available whenever, then I don't want to talk to you, meaning about pending free agents. So a lot of people assume that was about Will Ospreay because of how he selected AEW based on the schedule. Now, so Will Ospreay said, it's funny that it comes from a guy like you, because you're in the position that you are because you grinded on the boss's daughter. And Renee looked like she would have been rather at anywhere else in the world than where she was standing.
Whoa, that snap.
That joke, that bit is severely outdated. Not funny any longer. It was funny the first 1,000 times people said it.
Yeah, 25 years ago, it was funny.
It just makes Ospreay look bush league. And people came for him on the internet with receipts, because he said in this little bit that Triple H, well, he didn't call him by name, but he said Triple H doesn't know what I fight for, and you know, how he can't say that he doesn't respect the grind or whatever. And somebody called him out on Twitter, and he said, Will Ospreay denying he was afraid of the grind. Bro, you said you took AEW's offer because of the scheduling. And there's a quote that's listed in Yahoo Entertainment. Yeah, of course I talked to WWE. But it was night and day, Ospreay said, even in differences of what they were offering and what AEW was offering, AEW was way better. The scheduling, everything about AEW was completely the right option for me. It was always, you can go be a superstar in WWE and be famous, but it's not as good of pay and it's not as kind of a schedule. I respect everyone doing it, but it's not for me. So you can't talk shit about that you don't know how to do the grind just because you fly in an airplane back and forth from two countries. That's not what was being referred to. So you can't talk shit, make stupid jokes, and then not expect people to come after you with receipts of quotes you said. But I digress.
Hang on one sec there, Josh.
Yep.
So this is the, you know, I haven't read in any of this stuff, kind of live reacting here, but this AEW starting to sound like WCW, right? More pay, less work, right? But so it just, let's use round numbers for argument's sake. If WWE offered him $1 million for 200 nights worth of work a year, and AEW offers him $200,000 for 100 nights worth of work a year, like, what are you gonna take?
Yeah, I understand your point, but it's hard when you got billionaires arguing with each other in terms of, or I should say, one billionaire now and a multi-billion-dollar company.
I could have used larger numbers, but
no, I get, like I said, same, I get right? what you're like, saying. I get what you're saying, but it's just. And it's funny that you say that, because a lot of people were comparing AEW last night to WCW in the year 2000, because I'll get to the reactions. Renee's embarrassment for that joke is just the tip of the iceberg, but we'll get there.
All right. Yes. Back to my popcorn.
All they'll really add to this, and we'll probably have more to say on it later, but it's like, this is the example, another perfect example of WWE getting good is like the worst thing that happened to AEW, because it's easy to be the hip number two alternative when the number one company is putting out crap like what was happening 5 years ago. Now WWE is doing stuff a lot better, and AEW, I mean, overall, I think the product's still very good. It's not quite as good as it was a couple of years ago, but it's still pretty good. I mean, I'm still looking forward to Dynasty and all, but it makes it harder for them to look like the hip alternative when the number one show is clearly attracting more heads.
All right. Let me run down the rest of the show before we get to the footage. In a trios match, Shane Taylor Promotions defeated Hook, Chris Jericho, and Shibata. Jericho and Hook had a falling out. Shane Taylor Promotions added Anthony Ogogo to the group. So hopefully this will mean more TV time and opportunities coming for the British boxer. Timeless Tony Storm's Charleston Champagne Toast Celebration. Okay, on this night, even Tony sucked, because this lasted about 30-ish seconds and was just a vehicle for Tony to throw champagne in Thunder Rosa's face and wipe off her makeup. And then it was over. I'm like, wow. You know it's bad when even Timeless Tony sucked. Then we had Mariah May versus Anna Jay. We had some end-of-the-match goofiness when some wrestler from Stardom came in and had champagne flutes and champagne and then made out with Mariah May for like 10 seconds. I have no idea what that was about. They had a sit down with Mercedes Moné. About 2 minutes into the interview, the lights go out, lights go on, and Mercedes has been attacked. Who was the attacker? Well, who the fuck turns the lights off and on? Julia Hart, hello? It's possible it could have been somebody else, but I mean, the way they were going, oh my God, who was it? Just, I was not having much of anything on this night.
At the very least, it was probably trying to make you think it was Julia Hart, but you know, your point stands.
Yeah. And in the main event, in an AEW World Championship Eliminator match, Samoa Joe took on Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. a Samoan world champion named Joe versus a Rhodes, 3 days after a Samoan world champion named Joe took on a Rhodes. Tony. Like Jared
said
earlier,
that's kind of amazing.
That's straight up WCW levels of pettiness and bullshit. Okay, so circling back. No, you know what? I mentioned this in group chat earlier. I'm going to bring it up again now. What the fuck happened to the rankings? I looked at the rankings. I didn't see Dustin on there anywhere. Why the fuck is he getting a title opportunity elimination style where if he wins, he gets a title shot?
Yeah, that's my understanding is how the eliminator thing works. It's a non-title match. So if he wins, he gets a title shot. But if he loses, he is, I guess, like out of contention for as long as the champion is champion. They haven't really explained it too well. You know, I watch every week, and I think that's what they mean, because I've only heard it referred to like once in the last year as far as what eliminator actually means. So, I mean, the point stands, and the only reason they did this is because Cody fought Roman at Mania. You know, that's the only reason they did that. You know, it's like if you're going to have rankings, then you should adhere to them, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Now, if Cody maybe had get won a match, not Cody, if Dustin had won a match to earn the eliminator match, okay. But they didn't do that, unless you really want to say beating the Butcher a couple weeks ago put him into title contention, which would be laughable.
He's not even in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And that's after the win against the Butcher. So I don't, like I said, it's complete pettiness, and I don't know. Tony must think fans are stupid. Okay, so then we had this asinine footage segment. The Young Bucks present backstage footage from All In 2023 and will discuss the ramifications. So this was basically used as a way to tie into the Young Bucks feud with FTR. Because they're saying that because of this person who went into business for himself, like they didn't call Punk by name, they said that they were severely distracted as VPs and they weren't able to get in their pre-match prayer before wrestling FTR, and that's why they lost. We're supposed to ignore the reports of Tony doing this to embarrass CM Punk. Well, first of all, the footage corroborated Punk's story pretty much to a T. So he didn't say he was right for doing it. He said he was in the wrong. He said he was unprofessional or trying to be professional, and he could see how it comes off that he was unprofessional. He literally could have narrated this footage because it's exactly what he said happened. So where does the embarrassing part come in? Oh, I know where the embarrassing part comes in. While this footage was being played, the crowd was chanting CM Punk for a guy that's no longer there. And then the Young Bucks came out to the ring later into the night, and the crowd's chanting CM Punk again. Ah, well done. So embarrassing. Oh, wait, for you. If you saw the reaction,
I like how Brandon Thurston put it, where he said CM Punk somehow is now one of the most popular acts on WWE and AEW at the same time, and that's without being able to wrestle.
All you had to do is look at Tony Schiavone's reaction to the footage. And somebody put it side by side with a reaction he had in WCW the last year of the company's existence. It's the exact same look. And he's probably thinking this is WCW all over again. Now, I'm not saying this company is going to die, because like Punk said, it'll live on as long as Tony puts money into it. But you could not come across any more Bush League and a distant second to the juggernaut by doing this. It was just a wild swing and a miss.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you what Bully Ray had to say on Busted Open After Dark, which is a 1 hour show he hosts. After Dynamite goes on.
And when you're done with that, I'll give you what I think they should have done. And it also involves Tony Schiavone. But, you know, please proceed.
So Bully said, and I quote, "I hope they popped a rating tonight. I hope something positive came out of this footage or came out of tonight. Because when tomorrow comes, if that rating is not good, if they're not back up to at least 800,000, it's going to be dog pile on the rabbit, and the rabbit is going to deserve the dog pile. This is not on the talent. This is not on the locker room. And most of the time, it never, ever is across the board. It's on creative. It's on the booker. It's on the matchmaker. This company needs help. At this point, I hope even you diehards realize that. There are lots of people who want to help. I've gone on record to say that I would help for free. And if you think that's me politicking for a job when I just performed in front of 72,000 people as a special guest referee, you're out of your fucking mind." And that's the end of his quote. But he would go on to say, "Tony can have his phone back and make tweets all day long if he gives me the pencil." The fact that they did get back up to at least 800,000, they got 819,000, which isn't even that much better. But
the demo, I think, was up to a 0.3, which coming up from a 0.23, I think that's that just means that the biggest jump was in young people. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
It's, I think I read 29% higher than last week, or whatever when they drew 752,000. So basically they did this footage to pop a rating and it wasn't even that big of a pop. And they got the crowd to chant for a guy who no longer works there when they hadn't been in months. I lost a lot of respect for Will Ospreay on this night. I lost a lot of respect for AEW on this night. I already watched them less than I have in a long time, and this is not helping. I'm going to probably just stick to the matches that I think would be interesting, such as next week, Will Ospreay versus Claudio. I'm interested in that. But I have zero interest in any stories now because I really don't care. It's god awful. And it's a shame because it didn't have to be this way. But that's my thoughts on it.
I'll just add, it was a week or two ago, whenever the appearance on Ariel Helwani happened, when Punk was on there for like the 2 hours or whatever it was, and he had said what he had said about, you know, well, it's pretty well documented, the stuff that Punk had said. Somebody asked Tony Schiavone, what do you think about what Punk said about his time at AEW? And if you've ever listened to Tony Schiavone's podcast, you know exactly how he'll say it. But he said, I don't give a shit. That's how AEW should have reacted. You know, they don't have to necessarily say those words, but, you know, just blow it off. You know, you got to have a thick skin for stuff like this. And I know none of us have run any wrestling companies, but it goes back to what I was saying before. It is harder to be the distant number two promotion when the number one promotion is hot. You know, now you have to do things much better than you did before, and you have to accentuate what's good about you and downplay what's bad about you. And when you do stuff like this, it just accentuates like what you've said about it just looks petty when you do stuff like this. You can take your shots. I mean, it is not uncommon at all for the second place company to take shots at the first place company. I mean, when WCW was looked at as being above WWE, WWE was taking shots left and right. But once they overtook and retook their number one position, they basically blew WCW off after that. So you have to do it in a way that doesn't make you look petty. And this does. I'm not even sure what they were trying to accomplish. I mean, if they got a ratings bump, then okay. But what was the hook to keep you going? When you try to do a ratings bump, you have to have something in there that's going to keep people in there, you know, coming back long term. I mean, maybe that was the Edge Penta match. I don't know. But I can't see it being the Joe Dustin match because everybody watches that and you're just like, okay, it's Cody's brother. You know, I don't think that's going to keep people around. Anyway, I'm done.
The problem with this additionally was it completely shit over the promo that Adam Copeland did the previous week where he said, enough with the negativity. Let's all focus on the positive. Let's end the tribalism. And people, he had said something about WWE and the crowd booed. He's like, no, don't boo. You know, they're do their thing. We'll do ours. And this completely just shat on the whole thing. It made him look like a fucking clown out there. All because Tony's a goddamn fan with money. And it's sad. And if you want to take the social media aspect of it, after that footage aired, what was trending? Was it AEW? No. Was it Dynamite? No. CM Punk and WCW 2000. And as I'm looking right now, WCW 2000 is still trending. So, way to go, guys. Great plan. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll pitch in for a second as much as it's worth considering. I didn't see the segment, but it sounds to me like we're all 14 years old and back in high school again.
It's ridiculous.
Which is not a good thing. I mean, I had a good time in high school, but a lot of people didn't. But, I mean, this is, geez, this is really poorly calculated given that, you know, they're bringing attention to the guy that just was a major factor in matches on both night one and night two at WrestleMania, and has built the start of it, probably what's going to be an amazing feud with Drew McIntyre. And now they're trying to like, well, this is so embarrassing, but we're just saying exactly what he said. Like, Bully Ray was right. And we've said this numerous times in this show. It's like, Tony needs a team. He can't do this on his own. He needs a booking committee to handle. He needs a head of creative, and he just needs to step back and oversee things. Let the creative team do what they need to do.
Yeah. Go play on Twitter all day.
Yep.
It's a shame. It really is. 'Cause they do have one hell of a roster, but like you say, Jarrett, half of them you don't get to see on television.
I was just going to say, I'm going to correct you and say one hell of a huge roster.
Yes. Huge ass, ginormous fucking roster.
Yeah. Like when Adam Copeland said, I'll put this roster up against anybody's at any time, I think he genuinely meant that. I think they could have just left it at that, like you said, and I think it would have come across as much better.
I've seen people say that if Tony wanted to rebut, he should have gone on Ariel's show himself or done somebody's podcast. But this was a giant, you know, I want to say they shot themselves in the foot, but I feel like they shot themselves in the chest cavity and they're fucking bleeding out. So I'd love to see what the rating is next week and see if this drove people away. Because, like I said, it's not the death of AEW, but it sure as shit didn't help.
It's at very least a black eye. I think it's safe to call it that.
Yeah. It's what this was 8 months ago when the news came out. But, you know, you should have moved past it, not rehashed it. Oh, look, here's a scab that's finally healing over. Let's pick at it and rip it open. All right. Well, our next episode will cover SmackDown, Rampage perhaps, and Collision perhaps. When this first happened last night, I was this close to being like, you know what, fuck AEW, we're only talking WWE from now on the podcast. But I calmed down over 24 hours, but you wouldn't know it listening to this episode.
Oh, no, not at all. Tell us how you really feel, Josh.
Yeah, right? That's that'll be the appendix to this episode. It's not the word I was looking for, but it's all I could think of.
Supplement, maybe.
Yeah,
the epilogue. Episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Podcaster's log, supplemental.
Yeah. So until our next episode, thank you once again for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X. At TWBP Show, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at The Bacon Rev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax, and you can follow Josh at Southpaw Josh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.